Accession number 13945, Reel 5.
Mr. Davenport, Reel 5.
Thank you. We were now saying that we ran aground on Ladd Reef, which is in the Spratly Islands on the northwest coast of Borneo. This was early hours of the morning, and the whole of the boat, as you can imagine, was shook, and we could hardly believe that what had happened. In fact, I was in my bunk, and I was chucked out. Like a lot more, we all run along to the control room thinking, good heavens, we've been torpedoed or something. And we couldn't believe we'd run aground. And then all of a sudden, the message came through that we'd run aground. I went on the bridge, as my position was normally up on the bridge as a signalman, and I could see the boat had run on us. It was a submerged reef. You could see the surf, but that's about all. And there we were stuck. Later on, tide went down, and there we were high and dry, so that you were able to lower yourself down onto the reef and even walk about. Now, we're in this terrible position, and in enemy waters, with Borneo one side, Vietnam on the other, and all the aircraft going about would obviously be Japanese, let alone any Japanese submarines or ships going about. And so, consequently, we kept a good lookout and at the same time made a report to the task force commander to say that we had run aground in this position and would it be possible to get a tug to tow us off. Well, I don't personally, myself, I was a very junior lad. I didn't really see that this was on, but then again, you never know what may happen. And let's hope, we were all hoping that something like that could happen. But this was refused by the task force commander, and he said that he would send a submarine called the COD, a United States submarine called the COD, to contact us. She was not too far away in another submarine patrol area, and she would be coming to make contact with us and would try to assist in getting us off the reef. Well, we did try all day ourselves to think of anything possible, because another submarine had been in a similar position during the war out there, called the Tarpon, I believe, and they had jettisoned all possible weight to get the boat as light as possible and at high tide get the boat off. This was not an uncommon thing with any type of ship, to get the boat lightened. However, there was nothing we could do ourselves. We tried everything we could, even firing torpedoes and getting rid of ammunition and so on. And when the United States submarine COD arrived, she kept her distance from us and approached from the stern so as to pass a line across. But in order not to run aground herself, she trimmed down and then came in quietly and slowly. And when she felt she was hitting the reef, she backed off slowly. But we were able to get two or three hawsers across, and she had a go at getting us off, but unsuccessfully. We tried all day again the next day, but we had to abandon the effort in the end, because we were now coming to the stage where we've taken too long over this, and it didn't look as if it was ever going to be possible. We did make one last final effort, and this was to pass a chain from the 019 over to the COD and have a go at it that way. We tried, the submarine COD tried its darndest to get us off, but nothing, it would not shift at all. But we had noticed that when we got down onto the reef to walk around, although the boat was partly covered with water, the keel, you could see that it did appear that she was jammed under the keel there, about midships. She was lying at an angle of 3 degrees to starboard and 3 degrees from forward to aft, in a awkward position. However, as I say, we tried with the chain, they couldn't get it off, so they decided to make a signal to say that we would now have to abandon this and request further instructions. And the task force commander told us to carry out the demolition bill. This was to destroy the submarine itself. And he left it to the American commander to do this. But first of all, we decided to transfer by boat. Now, the 019, as I've said before, was quite a well-equipped submarine. It even had its own boat. And we were able to take this boat from under the casing and lower it down. It was used as a liberty boat and all types of work, all sorts of miscellaneous jobs. And here again it came to use. And we loaded the boat up with all the documents and books and heaven knows what, and we got it across to the American submarine Cod. There were a number of trips like this. Everything was taken over as much as possible. Some of us by this time have been swimming in the water and could almost swim over to the Cod if we'd wanted. One or two probably did. Having done all that and we got all the crew off, all that we required to do now was to await for our own demolition charges to go off, which had been placed throughout the submarine. So there'd been one or two in every compartment, especially around secret equipment. And they went off, we could stand back and listen to it all going off. And the submarine commander decided to lay off for another half a mile. And he opened fire, gunfire, and fired quite a number of rounds at the boat. And then he fired two or three torpedoes. There was debris all over the place from this. And of course the submarine, it looked as if, the last I saw it, it looked as if it was going to sit there forever and ever. And it looked as if, well, it was a tired old man had done his job, but it was not going to sail no more.
Did you get back to base safely?
The submarine Cod took us up to Subic Bay in the Philippines and transferred us across to an American camp. And from there, we were met by United States Admiral called Fife. And he had us transferred to a fruit carrying ship called the Mazar, and that was for passage south. They took us down to the Admiralty Islands, the island of Manus, and transferred us to a US Navy camp there. We left there on the 19th of July. On the 19th of July we left for an aerodrome, and we were flown by Douglas Dakota to Australia to land in a place called Townsville. And from there we went down to the city of Sydney on the 21st of July. And then we left by train from there to Melbourne. We arrived in Melbourne and we were all accommodated at a place called the Queen's Mansions. And at this stage we had been really waiting about trying to get fresh clothes and uniform and so on. And what we'd done was sufficient to keep us until we got back to Fremantle. So we had managed to get quite a few things in Melbourne. But on the 31st of July, we left Melbourne for Perth, and then we arrived in Perth via Adelaide, and we were given 10-day survivor's leave. Shortly after that, I was transferred to another Dutch submarine called the O24, but that was only for about a month. But during that time, I was waiting to now come back to United Kingdom. The submarine Cod, the United States Cod, came into Fremantle. And what a nice thing it was. Here was a United States submarine Cod, the submarine that saved our lives. If it hadn't been for them, we'd have been stuck on that reef. We were there for 3 or 4 days, but it was hell, really, because we couldn't go anywhere except to a Japanese prisoner of war camp. That was the only place we were going, because we would have eventually been spotted, and we would have finished up as prisoners of war. But the United States were very, very good in sending out this American submarine COD. And they came and picked us up and took us back. They were the ones that saved us. And I've always been grateful to the Americans for that, and always will be. So, just to celebrate that occasion, we had a big dance at a place in Perth, Australia. That was for the United States COD and the O-19. Everyone that could possibly turn up did so, and we had an absolute marvellous time. And since then, I have been in touch with one or two of the United States COD's crew, and they're now living in Australia. My other Dutch friends, of course, are in Holland and Australia, and I keep in contact with them where possible. I then left Australia to come home on a British submarine called the Trenchant. I only took passage in that. The war was now over, and after getting end of war leave, etc., I was then became part of the Royal Naval Submarine Service. But I finished up a very lucky man at the end of the war. No submarine, but my, what a life I had.
Can I just finish off by quoting from your notes about the dates that you set off on the patrols in the Far East? Because I see that you set off on your first patrol in August 1944, your second patrol in October 44, your third patrol on the 18th of December 44, your fourth patrol on the 12th of March 45, and you've already mentioned the fifth patrol started on the 25th of June 1945.
Yes.